you people. The Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis for another day of broadcast insolence. We're blasting off faster than Elon Musk's rocket.
How about it? Quite an impressive thing to behold.
I bet Johnny Depp doesn't think so.
Johnny won't like it.
I want to say one thing. Where am I?
You're going to space, Johnny.
I think he's been there. I think he might be there right now.
Do you think it was showing off that Elon Musk decided just to fire a Tesla Roadster up there with the rocket? Just for fun?
And on the screen in the car, it said, don't panic.
And it was playing David Bowie music, too. How about that?
Was he doing that Space Oddity thing? What was he doing?
Yes.
Yeah?
The stereo system was playing that as it blasted off with Tesla Roadster. Two parts of it came off. Landed. No, on purpose. The side.
Because that would make Johnny feel very good.
It was supposed to happen.
So when does it get to Mars? Is this one of the things we got to wait years for?
A year and a half. But what does, actually not that long. It's like 9 months or something to Mars.
Yeah, about that, I guess. I don't know how fast this one's traveling. How long?
Seems like a long time.
Yeah.
It was life on Mars.
We get to Mars faster. Plane. Like a red-eye overnight flight to Mars.
Well, that's what they're working on. That's what Elon's working on.
Hurry up, Elon.
Oh, good. Please don't say his name.
So when it gets there, is the Tesla going to drive around?
It's just going to stay in orbit indefinitely.
Oh, he's not going to land there.
No.
What is the point?
Well, maybe when he goes.
They're polluting the space.
No, this is the test to see. How long?
If a car can just float there?
Yeah.
They haven't
landed on Mars yet.
This is very much a show-offy kind of move on his part.
Really is. Thanks, Johnny. I think you're right.
I feel like he's going to use it in a commercial, which would be awesome.
He's not landed. But we've landed on Mars already. Why isn't he trying to land on Mars? We already have the technology to do that.
Go to Venus or Jupiter.
Yeah, Mars is...
Maybe Saturn, drive around on the...
We've had Mars. Let's get to the other planets.
Yeah. Well, actually, we have gotten to the other planets, so, too. If you've seen that Operation Saturn thing, I think that's on the... I think on the Netflix, you can see this. It's amazing what they did with Saturn, with the rings and how they went through the rings, and then the one that dove in at the very end.
I heard.
To the... Oh, my God.
Because they got into the rings, right, and explored what they're made of.
And the moons.
To see them from the inside.
And the different moons. I mean, it's really cool what we've done there already. I mean, this is, Mars, been there, done that. We're going to actually have somebody on the show a little bit later on who drove... the rover on Mars.
Pretty kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Dr. Bethany Ellman.
Mm-hmm. First civilian to be allowed to do that.
She also wrote a really cool Nat Geo kids book about the solar system.
Right. So this is
super cool.
It's a big deal, I guess.
No, it's not.
Nothing compared to what Johnny's done, though. But
let me ask you, let me, thank you for bringing that. Thanks for your support. But I would ask you, has he ever played a pirate in 16 different sequels?
It's a valid point.
Cannot say that he has. No, but he does have your girlfriend, ex-girlfriend.
Ever just shown up for a paycheck? I know I have.
And Johnny, because I know you want to know for sure, the whole goal of this flight is to test whether the rocket can carry such a heavy payload. So one day
he couldn't put sand on it. He had to put his own Tesla on board.
One day maybe it can carry a ship up with pirates in it.
How many Amber Heards can you fit on the rocket?
Exactly.
I would like to fit just one Amber Heard on the rocket.
Elon and him broke up. Elon and her, Amber, broke up 4 days ago. But I wonder if now when she sees this, she'll be really impressed.
Have they been broken up for a long time?
No, they got back together.
Oh, they did?
That's so a couple, 2 months ago.
Classic on and off situation, relationships.
She can't decide if she likes girls or not.
Just get decide if she likes girls. I like this. Because that's the best. That's when you don't like a guy. Isn't that the thing? You know what? It's not you. I think I just might like girls. And that's a good way to, hit the door, right?
Except for he's like, no, come back. We can decide together.
Yeah. Right. And every guy does say that. But then it's like, no, I think
you don't understand.
It's fair to you.
Do you think guys don't care if it's a girl? They feel better?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think that's not the same.
No, it's not the same for women.
Isn't that funny?
It's the exact opposite.
It's worse.
It's true.
There's a saying, but I can't share it. But, I'll let you know.
Yeah. But there's also there's also
a shame that you can't share it.
You know, these darn millennials, they're keeping all the secrets from us.
But if you're the male and she then moves on to a woman, aren't you kind of maybe self-doubting yourself a little bit? Like, wow, did she flip because of me? Am I that horrible?
No.
You don't? I think you're just thinking gay?
I think it's a lot easier.
No, you're like, okay. Yeah, like, okay. If I wait, if I sit chilly for mm-hmm. like a month and then call her.
That's just a phase.
She might invite me over.
She might miss me.
Yeah, hey, you forgot a few things at my place. Yeah.
And your girlfriend come over.
Yeah. Right. It's so fine. It's not about the girlfriend anymore. It's about the girlfriends then.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. We're women.
Yeah. Women are in a different situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like
that. The more the merrier.
No, we're like, if I ever see your face again, you're dead.
Yeah. You should have told me is what
exactly.
you would probably say.
How did you not know? I knew.
That doesn't come
up. Well, if you knew, why didn't you tell me? I mean, does a guy ever say that to you?
Yes, exactly.
Well, you should have told me that. See, guys don't have that. It's a very different situation. Guys, you know, when a woman says to her your boyfriend or uh-huh. husband or whatever it is, hey, listen, I don't think we should stay together because I want to be with women. Uh-huh. It's, you know, it's not like, well, you should have told me. It's more like, cool.
It's like,
cool,
I get that. Dude. Yeah. Oh, man.
Dude, she likes girls.
We finally have the same interests.
Yeah.
It's cool. So much to talk about.
We can watch porn together.
You're like, yeah, I totally understand that.
So then you're not broken up about it at all? Because you think
well,
it's temporary?
Well, you can be broken up about it.
But it's a little easier.
They just
don't
want another guy in their territory.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if it's another guy, then you're like, what the hell is that?
You guy's a loser.
See, it's the same thing for women. If it's another guy, you're upset, right? You understand how we feel about that?
No, it makes no sense. Why don't we
I get
care?
It. I agree.
She gets it. See, she gets it.
Okay, that's why
yeah, I know.
We're don't, still trying to figure it out.
I know.
Violetta gets it.
Because if she gets it, then...
So there's obviously something wrong with that.
I think that's a good point, Judy.
You're
by the way,
thinking it.
Another good point, Judy, is what is coming up in the WGN Radio Newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
Elon Musk is on Instagram. Check out the camera views from inside the payload showing his Tesla heading into space right now. So he's got that going for him.
Right now, I'm on Instagram showing off my payload, too.
That's good, Johnny.
Take a look at my payload, you son of a...
Ooh. All right, Ben Bradley
is
here.
Does he have to stop for a charge on the way up? How does it work?
Oh, I love it.
I love that, too. I do love the Teslas, but you're right. That's one of the fatal flaws.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when you know what? The other thing about the Tesla they don't tell you about? Hmm. When it's cold outside and it says it has 100 miles left, it really doesn't have 100 miles.
It's just like your iPhone.
Just like your phone. It's really more like 65 when it's really cold.
Really?
Have
you learned that the easy or hard way?
I've learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Coming back from Michigan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got enough battery. Don't worry about it. We're fine.
You know what you want to do if you're coming back to Chicago from Michigan? You want to be about 3 miles short.
3 to 20, you're in a good place, right? You're just fine.
Yeah. That's about where you want to be. Right about 3 miles short.
I don't think they have a charging station in Gary, do they?
No. Yeah. Turns out they don't. I know exactly where they are. If you're heading downtown,
that's what I'm saying.
They have one at Soldier Field, but
Only
during Bears games.
Oh, okay.
Good right. stuff to know. But
fatal
Elon Musk doesn't
Tesla.
Care about that.
Yeah, no, he doesn't care.
He doesn't give nothing about that.
Care about anything.
Thank you for helping to finance his spaceship, by the way, Anna, through the purchase of your Tesla.
Yeah.
All right. What's coming up tonight? You got a lot going on tonight, Ben Bradley. First of all, you have your own. You got your own special investigative piece, don't you?
Yeah, we're looking at high tech heists, which you've no doubt heard about. You know, tech support scams. That's where a piece of malware gets on your computer. You turn it on, it freezes up, and it says, you have a virus or your software is out of date. Contact Microsoft support. They give you a number. Sounds legit. We talk with a woman who says, the guy sounded so nice. He even asked about my dog who was barking in the background. Well, it turns out they got her credit card number charged close to $1,000. So that is the common kind of tech scam that we see a lot of.
Mm.
There's another one that's not as common but far more scary, and this is called virtual kidnapping. And it happened to a family in the northwest suburbs where... basically, these guys looked at a young woman's Facebook page. They used it to gather all sorts of personal information about her, called her place of business, said, we're from the Kane County Sheriff's Office. You are about to be arrested for skipping jury duty. And this young girl who's 19, 20 years old says, what do you mean I didn't know? And they said, well, you have to get in your car right now. Stay on the phone with us because that's how we know you're not running. Don't answer any other calls. Stay on the phone with us and begin driving to the jail, which is an hour away. So as they have her tied up on the phone, they spoof her phone number, use it to call her mom. So her mom thinks they're getting a call from her daughter's phone, and these bad guys say to the mom, we have kidnapped your daughter.
Oh, my gosh.
We have her phone, and we're demanding a ransom. And the mom, like any of us would go, well, no. How do you think we have her phone, ma'am?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
How do you think we know about her tattoo that says Faith on her arm?
This is so scary.
Yeah, so they ordered this family around. It's just one of a series of ways that tech is being used to scam people. We get into it tonight on the 9 o'clock news. You'll also see what
happens. Have we caught any of these SOBs yet?
Nope. In fact, tech crime is very hard for the FBI and other law enforcement agencies to go after because, oftentimes it originates overseas behind, all sorts of rerouted networks.
Right.
We actually got a lead on a company or a guy who was scamming an elderly woman out in Bolingbrook through one of these tech scams. This is the lady who had $1,000 charged up on her card. We tracked him to his apartment, so you'll see that tonight at 9 o'clock.
Right.
Is there a sense that these people aren't necessarily local people, that they could live anywhere and do these crimes?
Yeah, it depends. They do think a lot of the tech scams originate overseas. This virtual kidnapping stuff, she said it did not sound like they were from overseas, and in fact, she had suspicions originally. Maybe it was somebody who knew her daughter. Maybe it was somebody who preyed on kind of an innocence of vulnerability. But just the technologies out there, you or I could download an app tomorrow and use that app to make it look like we're calling anyone from Rokan's phone.
Oh, well, that's
good
to know.
Start dialing up people he
knows.
Don't
tell the millennials that.
Trust me, that this phone's called to people.
And you pretended it wasn't you?
Yeah.
Well, it's all fun
that
games
when
people are doing it as a prank, but if you spoof the number of, say, the sheriff's department or the FBI or something like that,
very convincing.
All of a sudden becomes a lot more convincing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. All right.
We'll look for that report.
What time is that coming up?
That's coming up tonight on the WGN News at 9 o'clock.
Oh my God. I have to watch that. If I don't watch it, I got to DVR it and watch it within 24 hours. I'll tell you that right now.
Please
Please
do.
Very important.
What is the what else is happening on the news
Not
today?
Sure if you heard, but we're about to get some more snow.
Yeah, Tom Skelly's going
to
join
nasty
us.
Nasty commute. Not today. Yeah, I don't want to steal Tom's thunder, but we are on the snow watch.
Tomorrow morning, bad commute. Yeah.
Oh, you just gave it away.
Yeah. Oh. That's okay.
Tom Skelly's going to break your kneecaps. Don't start forecasting.
And
do not forecast, bro. He seems nice, but when you move in on his meteorology, he will break you in half.
Yeah. He'll cut you.
Yeah. And he's got a shiv. He's like a guy in prison. Like, he seems nice. You don't think he's going to, hey, how you doing? Good to see you.
It's a dirty
I heard we're about to get 2 to 3 inches. Don't you forecast. Yeah. And that shiv comes out of nowhere.
By the way, Dirty Butter Knife was my rap name, as I recall. I just recalled that. All right. Let's talk about... the Olympic. I'm sorry, not the Olympics. The political gubernatorial race is on en fuego right here.
Totally
Dan
is.
Biss is going to join us, and Dan Biss seemed like he seemed like a nice
fine fellow
and fairly naive guy who was just going to run for something and now going to give everything to everybody.
Let's not call him naive. He kind of helped with a couple of political funds that Mike Madigan was involved in.
See, so that's the thing. The commercials portray him as like a wide-eyed kind of optimistic. Hey, it's all going to be okay. I'm going to pay for your education and everything else, and it's all going to be great. And then the next thing you know, there's other stuff going on here.
Yeah, as my dad would say, he knows where the streetcar runs.
Yeah. Oh, where does the streetcar run? Right up that alley.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the... anyway, so now... I'm really enjoying the political commercials as they're running now. You got this Jeannie Ives and that crazy commercial with the dude. It was like, oh, thank God I can finally go in a little girl's room. wearing a bad wig and a house receipt. It looks like Norman Bates' mother. Mm-hmm. It's that's a bad...
And he has a 4 o'clock shadow?
Yeah. 5 o'clock. 4 o'clock
this one's more like
mountain.
A 4.
Yeah.
And the Republicans have a Holocaust denier on the ballot for Congress. Exactly. So I would say it's just a typical election cycle in Chicago.
How about that? How did they let that happen? It seems like they've had such good leadership in Cook County. I don't understand.
Well, it's a Democrat seat, so nobody thought the Republican would get anywhere, and he probably won't. But still, the optics, as they say in the business, a little off.
Yeah, you think?
That's what they say, all right. All right, thank you, Ben. We'll see you tonight, 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10, especially at 9 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, we'll watch for that.
Big, the big investigative piece about how you can be virtually kidnapped by bad guys. Really interesting stuff right there. All right, we've got Judy Pilak with the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. I like to jump into the song just in mid-song. I like to do it.
Nice.
It's not how Tom Skilling taught me to do it, but it is one way of doing it.
I love it. It kind of gets the blood flowing.
It does get the blood flows.
It does.
There is some flowing of the blood. All right, let us talk about what appears to be a mistake of some sort in mm-hmm. your forecast
mm-hmm.
that it's going
to
snow.
Are you trying to correct Tom
like
Skilling?
Every couple, like
whoa,
every
whoa,
day.
Whoa.
Oh, did I say that? Oh, forget it, Ro. 80 degrees tomorrow.
That's what
and,
I thought.
And 90 by Friday. So, gee, I'm glad you caught that.
Okay, thank you. Well, Tom, thanks for stopping by.
You
bye-bye now.
You bet. Bye. Bye, Anna.
Bye, Tom. Questioning Tom Skilling.
I'll tell you.
Please.
Well, I just got to say, I hear.
You know, it's
things.
Been a tough week here. I've got Roe questioning me now. Then we have the groundhog making a seasonal forecast.
Trying to make a play for your job.
Yeah. You know, what comes next?
I know. I know. Son of a.
All right,
let's talk about the. Let's talk about this because this is. All right.
Yeah.
Last. That snow yesterday was just, it was a mess and a half
on
the commute because it hit, as you pointed out, it hit right in the middle of afternoon drive, and that was not so good.
Yeah, and it focused the heaviest snow just south of here. As you went, there was a corridor all the way from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, through Des Moines, Iowa, Galesburg, Illinois, Kankakee, Rensselaer. That was kind of the axis of the heaviest snow, and passing north of Peoria on the way. Peoria got snow, but the heaviest was just north. Some areas, I just heard from our observer out in Streeter, they got over 8 inches of snow out of that yesterday, and 6 down by Rensselaer, 4 at Kankakee. We had 2 to 4 inch amounts across the city. Now, the next one comes tonight. There's another one late Thursday night and Friday, and another one Saturday. There'll be kind of a bridge between the Friday and the Saturday night system. So it might flurry or light snow in between into Saturday morning. But what's happening here is that this big, sprawling Arctic air mass, the southern flank of it has settled southward over the snowpack. In the northern tier of U.S. states. So the jet stream runs along that, and it comes in off the Pacific. So it's bringing this parade of weather systems in that kind of run along the south flank of this cold air, and that puts us right in the zone of action here.
Right, like a train track.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Coming down the track.
That's exactly the way to put it, Ro.
Okay, great. And when do we get out of this?
Well, there's one more that looks possible, say, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, okay.
But you know what's interesting? We had one model.
Don't you see I'm getting tired of this? Don't you get the sense that I'm
tired? You're going to get even tireder of it. I'm afraid, Ro. We all are.
It's a lot of shoveling,
It's going to go on for a while. But, we shouldn't be totally surprised. These La Nina winters have historically wound up with above normal precip. We've been way below normal here in the city, so you kind of figure the other shoe might drop, and it seems to be doing that. One thing, none of these systems has the earmarks of a blizzard of 67 or anything like that, or the Jane Byrne Michael Bolandic blizzard, or the Groundhog's Day blizzard more recently. None of them look like that, so. At least we're getting them in little pieces.
It does seem to me that there's a cumulative effect here.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
there's no thawing in between.
Well, you mentioned yesterday there had been a discussion of perhaps 10, 12 inches of snow total.
Mm-hmm.
And, that continues to be the general trend off the models. We don't like to look at specific numbers in that time range, but if everything lined up like these systems seem to be, you know, that might be the total yield out of this by the end of the weekend.
They're dinking and dunking us here. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, when does the warming happen so that the dinking and dunking is erased?
Well, you know, Anna, that's the interest. It looks like we're going to go into a more moderate brand of cold, but no heat waves. The European Center's model suggested the back half of February might warm dramatically. It's looking like what may happen is the temperatures will come back to kind of seasonal levels, whereas right now we're running way below average.
I had a thought. I thought earlier today. Mm-hmm. I was doing a little homework, and mm-hmm. I was getting ahead of myself because I'm the teacher's pet when it comes to time. Uh-huh. Is it possible, because we're going to get a snowpack here, that warm
feeds back on itself?
Yeah, that whole idea is going to be warmer was based on the fact that it wasn't a snowpack.
Well, you know, these models that we look at build snowpack in. In other words, as they generate snow, they're aware of that, and that goes into the calculations of the next system and the one after that and the one after that. So, you know, one of the parameters we can pull off these models is how much accumulated snow and where the snow is going to be covering the ground.
You're basically telling me that February is going to suck.
Well, it seems like it.
That's a meteorological term.
I don't see the kind of warming that would have been suggested a week ago, but it does look like it's going to feel less severe as we get going here. So that's kind of good. I wish I could tell you I saw some.
I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. I see your low tomorrow is 9. Is that right? 9?
Actually, tomorrow night, Anna, could go down to around 0. And I think we'll have a fresh new snowpack. There'll be fairly light winds. We'll be in a high-pressure ridge. A dirty high, to be sure. It won't be totally clear.
It's a dirty high.
dirty high.
Bad high.
Bad. You go sit in the corner. That's just there. I told it to go away.
Yeah. Tell your dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I talk to my air masses here.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. I also talk to my computer. Do you guys do that?
It's 50 Shades of Grey Sky with you.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Let's talk about this. Let's give a little total to this. Let's give a little color to it. Tonight, it's going
to
be
1 to 3.
1 to 3. And then when does that end?
The steady snow comes from, say, around midnight to 5 or 6 in the morning. But it continues to snow off and on tomorrow, lightly, just more sporadic and on the order of flurries.
So it's the beginning of the rush hour.
Yeah, tomorrow morning's rush hour won't be affected by the steady, heavy, or, you know, accumulating, falling snow. But there'll be some snow showers and flurries around. And, you know, our incredible road crews around here will have worked their magic, I'm sure, knowing that this is coming in as they do.
They've been pretty good about this. And then...
Yeah.
And then
tomorrow night, breaks in the clouds. We go into Thursday morning fine. No problem with either the evening rush hour tomorrow. There'll be light snow around, but in patches. No problem Thursday morning. And then later Thursday evening, it may start snowing again. So that rush hour may be in a snow situation.
Okay.
And then it could be snowing Friday morning.
Okay.
And off and on during the day. Yeah.
It's a lot of snow coming out.
Yeah.
And then again Saturday night into Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday morning.
And then
Sunday
Monday?
Afternoon it'll clear up.
Oh,
and maybe
God.
Another one. Not a lot of moisture with that one at this point. So maybe some snow.
All right. I'm just going to ask a question here.
Yeah.
I would like, finally, is the idea of this dome over downtown seems like a pretty good one, doesn't it?
Your idea?
Well, that, yeah, that and putting a tarp over Lake Michigan.
Yep.
You know?
That would help.
Remember that? I had that, too.
Yeah. Think how much warmer it would be in spring.
Yep.
You know, we wouldn't have that cooler by the lake.
Or
going
just big
for
fans blowing the air off the lake and over to Michigan. What do we care about them?
Oh.
That's a good idea.
Maybe solar fans. Mm-hmm.
Solar fans? I don't even know what that means.
Like solar panel fans.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure.
It's not those something too. That Elon Musk came up with, is it?
Oh. Yeah.
Johnny, nice to hear you, Johnny. I were worried about you and where you were.
Thank you.
We've heard from Creepy yesterday. We wondered where he was.
And then the big SpaceX launch today, we thought Johnny would, you know, hide for a while, be upset, you know, the whole thing with his ex-girlfriend.
That's right. Is that still...
Well, that was on again, off again. So Elon Musk and Amber Heard were together as of four days ago, but now we don't know. Maybe she saw the launch today and she's going to run back to him.
And how's the dog in question doing that started all this over in Australia? You know?
Sounds really a bitch.
What?
I'll tell you.
Why am I in Johnny's dream?
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is that that we've got... We got the SpaceX thing is pretty wild.
That's very cool.
So cool.
It's very cool.
The private rocket going up to space. Although, you know, I think one of the underrated movies of the of this decade is the Cameron Crowe project Aloha, which is, it gets a little goofy at times. It's a lovely it's a love letter to Hawaii. Which
Hawaii,
really
right.
cool.
Right. They had some big names in that.
Oh,
it did,
yeah.
Did it do very well?
No, it didn't do great.
No.
But it's a but there it's a love letter, especially specifically to the sort of the wackiness that is the island of Oahu, because it's got the Native Hawaiians,
sure.
It's got the military,
Pearl Harbor.
It's got all of the and the relationship between the military and the Native Hawaiians there, and then all the rest of the stuff that happens around there. But it is also a warning. Mm-hmm. About the privatization of space and what can happen. And it gets a little goofy in the third act.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Murray plays this billionaire who's like a Elon Musk-esque character.
Yeah.
And what he does to try to, you know, if you really want to be up to no good, you potentially could be up to no good. And that's the point of this. And that's where... I'm
you're a little uneasy about this.
Well, I'm a little uneasy about it. Yeah, because like it's an all like why all of a sudden, you know, you'd watch a Bond movie, you know, right. back and I'd watch the ABC right. Sunday night movie, you know,
yes.
like a Bond movie on.
Sure,
and yeah, there was always some evil guy, right?
There
trying
was.
To take over
right.
space,
exactly, or take yeah. over anything, right?
Yeah.
And you know, take over the world, and generally space was involved. And you stop and you think to yourself, oh, well, you know, this is just a big fantasy. This could never happen. And now here we are in the year 2018,
yeah.
and all of it is happening.
I know.
You got crazy leaders that, you know, want to take over things. You got Elon Musk who's living in a volcano somewhere.
Right.
He
just tweeted out that there's a Tesla currently in orbit around the Earth right now.
Well, remember, he went into Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria struck, and he set up that solar-powered electrical grid to resume, you know, to restore power.
Which is a lovely thing for him to do, but it didn't really make that much of a difference, unfortunately,
no.
there. And
well, it had to be done on a scale beyond that, which he was set up to do at the time. You know?
Well,
did you
well,
see how
this,
do you see this you going off the rail, Ro? Why are you worried about this?
Because I don't know what he put
worries
up there.
About
what,
everything.
What did he put in the Tesla? How do I know what's up there?
It's going to be orbiting Mars, yeah. so I don't think we have to worry about
yeah.
that. It's way out there.
Yeah, but how do we know it doesn't turn back toward us? I mean, how do we know? And then it opens up, and all of a sudden it's got these laser things on it, and then it's like, and it's like heading toward us, and then he holds us hostage. How do we know that?
We don't.
You know, I'm far more worried about the Chinese space program, and also the fact the Russians are coming up with drone-like submarines that can launch nuclear missiles. That really creeps me out.
Oh, great.
I know.
I was just fine. I'd wrap my brain
no,
around Elon
bro.
Musk taking over,
you
now I got to worry about the Chinese and their drone submarines. All right, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, I'm sorry to be so uplifting today.
That's it. Goodbye.
See you guys. All right.
Nothing for us today.
Yeah, I know. I'll go hide.
Here is Judy. Tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour in the WGN Radio Newsroom. That music can mean only one thing. I don't know. Every time I hear a John Williams score, I think an alien is going to land, or there's going to be some kind of an Olympic event is going to break out at any given moment. And somebody without feet is going to go down a ski slope and win the gold medal, and then we're gonna cry about footless athletes. Thank you. That's what I think. Listen,
I'm with you.
She doesn't have feet. That's all. I'm just want to let you know. And she's gonna win a gold medal. That's the most important thing. I'm telling you, a week from now, that joke's gonna make a lot of sense. Doesn't make a lot of sense now, but it will. All right, Lester Holt is standing by right now. He's getting ready to go to South Korea. Hopefully he doesn't have to go to North Korea on this trip.
He's been there already.
And I would say that I'm going to ask you about this. First of all, you have a story tonight on the NBC Nightly News that I think is very, very interesting about figure skating, because now, you know, this Tanya Harding movie is out. I don't know if you've seen it, I, Tanya, but it is. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And it's a really interesting look at the at this world that we just see and really only care about every 4 years in the main. And we and you have to wonder, like, who are these judges and where do they come from? But now it turns out that you guys have some proof that, that the judging can be very, very biased. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly saw it in Sochi. There was a big controversy about the judging. And we did an investigation. We found that of 164 judges who are eligible for this year's Olympics, about 20% of them either have held or they currently hold a leadership position in their skating federation. So there's a built-in bias there, but at least a potential conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another study, I think by an economist mm-hmm. who looked at more than 2,000 figure skating scores. He found the numbers show significant bias. He even calls out the countries most likely to do it, Ukraine, Russia, South Korea, but also the U.S. Pretty fascinating.
I'm not shocked by anything. After I saw that Tanya Harding movie, I'm not shocked by anything. Tanya Harding's
yet, but here
Dartmouth.
It's
it was Dartmouth economics professor who did the study. I was just looking at your NBC report.
It is pretty great. And it turns out that Tanya Harding's mother had a bird on her shoulder.
What?
She literally had a bird on her shoulder during the interviews. And that, and you know, you think it's and you're watching the movie and you're like, well, that's an interesting choice for the director to put a bird on her shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, they show you video of the real people. And when Tanya Harding's real mother sat down for interviews, she had this bird on her shoulder for the interviews. And you're like, oh, my God, why would they do that? They had to go buy a robotic bird to make this movie work. Anyway, the point is this, that it is a very, I think you get the sense, it is, you know, probably more so in the figure skating world than any of the other Olympics, Winter Olympic sports, that there's a lot of subjectivity.
There is an element of it.
I can tell you, one of the things that, this is my ninth Olympics, and one of the things that always, first time I went to figure skating that shocked me is when you're sitting there in the crowd, you don't have the benefit of these, you know, our talented analysts and announcers. You're just watching, and they all seem like tens or whatever the perfect score is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really, it's hard for your eye, unless you're into the sport, to really discern
right.
it. But yeah, I think there's a fair amount. I mean, there's some technical things. You've got to do this jump and that
right.
spin, and but there is a fair amount of subjectivity as well.
Now, last week when we were talking to you, we, you know, we're discussing the flu outbreak and all the fear about the flu outbreak, and you know, you're going to get on a 15-hour flight here to get to.
Now,
just hear me out. Hear me out for a second. He's going
to
get on a 15-hour flight. He's going to swab everything down. He's going to, you know, he's going to put on his. I wouldn't judge you for wearing a mask. God, I hope they're putting you in at least business class. But here's the thing: there are 1,200 security personnel in Pyeongchang, where this is all taking place,
mm-hmm.
have come down with the norovirus and have had to be replaced with Korean military to do perimeter security around the Olympic Village. 1,200 all simultaneously came down with the norovirus.
Oh, that's terrible.
Lester, don't eat, drink, or inhale while you're there.
I will have to tell you, and not only did they get the norovirus, they didn't get the benefit of going on a cruise. I mean,
that's
they
true.
Got it right there.
Right, right. And now and you stop and think, now what happened that, you know, there's a lot of suspicion always, you know, whenever you, I think now in this wacky world in which we live, and you got the North Korea complication, and to have 1,200 people, you know, simultaneously the norovirus overtakes you like the flu very quickly, you know, sort of without warning,
mm-hmm.
and and this all happened, you know, within a matter of hours to these people, and you're like, oh, that's. That seems scary to me,
well,
Lester.
They're all quarantined.
Yeah, but
now.
Anytime you put a lot of people, I mean, I assume they're all in some kind of a barrack setting or, you know, mm-hmm. anytime you put people together and they're eating from perhaps a buffet line. I mean, these things can happen. But, you know, I will tell you this. Every Olympics I've covered, there has been some drama leading up to it.
Oh,
if
that's
you remember Rio was all about Zika. To the best of my knowledge,
right.
nobody got Zika in Rio. And in Sochi 4 years ago, it was Chechen rebels just, you know, up the hill. You know, we never heard from him. So, you know, there's always kind of this drama. And then, once the magic begins, everybody just, like, is focused on the sports.
That's true. What's your favorite? Do you have a special sport that you like?
Winter Olympics, I think that short track speed skating is awesome.
Oh, it is fun.
It is fun to watch.
It's kind of like roller derby meets NASCAR on the ice, and it's kind of a cutthroat. I love it.
So you get to see this stuff live. I mean, most of us never, unless you go to the ice capades, you never really get to see this stuff live. You just see it on TV. So the most exhilarating, you think, watching live is that because you get to see it all happen in front of you. Like if you're at downhill racing, you know, if you're out there in the downhill racing, you're either at the in the middle of the mountain, and they whiz by you, you're at the very end.
It's exciting, and it goes by very quick. I will tell you a humorous story, though. It was Torino Olympics, I guess 2006. My wife and my younger son came, and, we'd been doing stuff, and my wife really wanted to go to ice dancing, which is not kind of my thing. So we went, and we sat, and she kept looking over at us, and we were just bored to death. And she goes, you guys want to go? I'm like, yes. So we go back to our rooms, turn on the TV, and that was the night that suddenly the guy started dropping women. And there were it became kind of like speed skating. Things were going, and suddenly
it was contagious.
My son and I are looking, we missed this. This is much more exciting.
You hit it right. Who knew there was a degree of difficulty in any of this, right?
I mean,
in figure skating, you get, but the ice dancing, that's where there are no lifts in ice dancing, right? It's like a whole thing. You got to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm not trying to trash it. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's just not my thing.
Yeah, I got you. I'm with you.
So it's going to be super cold, too. This is one of the coldest Winter Olympics on record, they're saying, looking at the forecast moving forward.
Hey, I just came back from Minneapolis.
Good point. Oh, okay, you're prepared.
You know what? It's funny you should mention that because I do have to bring this up to you because we were talking to you last Thursday, and you said you were going to Minneapolis and you were going to for the Friday NBC Nightly News, and you were going to be outside. And so, and Anna and I have spent a fair amount of time doing things and on TV, and we were thinking, oh well, they'll build him a set, there'll be something.
Be
he'll be up there. There'll be kind of a glory shot of Minneapolis in back of him. It'll be like Prince, it'll be kind of cool. And there is poor Lester, the anchor of the NBC Nightly News, standing on a street with people walking past him.
And we both looked in horror with our mouths open, like, do you see where they have Lester? Do you see what they did to him?
I mean, I'm surprised the guy didn't come up to you and go, hey, Lester! Like in the middle of your story. And you looked,
I think it was one of those things that was born in a meeting in a conference room in July.
Right.
This will really be good. He should stand there with the people. And then all I could think about, and it was so cold, you actually saw the cold on your face. And that is not a professional criticism in any way, shape, or form.
No.
That is just a biological reality of what happened to you while you were standing out there.
I tell you, it was unbelievable. And I mean, between reads, I was just guzzling tea because your mouth freezes and, you're trying to enunciate and you're so, I was probably reading very slow because I was so conscious of trying to get the words out and not sound like I'd been drinking. It was
because your mouth freezes. Yes.
Oh, God. What is that?
That's where the story was. That's where people were celebrating. It was really kind of a fun time down there. The people there, they embrace the cold. It's just standing in it.
You're too nice of a guy, Lester. Network anchors, it's a tradition of network anchors for 50 years to throw a hissy fit about things like this. And that would have been your one moment. The world would have forgiven you for that, Lester.
Yeah, I'm not a hissy fit guy.
We can tell.
Yeah,
I need some street cred, so I will work up a tantrum, and we'll make sure it gets in the papers.
So. Take a swing at somebody, right? All right, well, have fun out there. It's going to be very, very interesting. It's fascinating on so many levels. This particular story this year, the American team, by the way, has I'd say four or five, and I know that NBC's been doing the best job they can to try to pre-promote some of this, but they have four or five of the best Olympic human interest stories that, some the perils that some of these athletes have gone through to get there. These are names you may not know, and the names that you do know, trying to make their comebacks. Lindsey Vonn.
And I've done some of these stories. I spent some time with Sean White several months ago in Malibu and, talked to him. And, he had, I think, an almost perfect score in his qualifying. And, he's a guy that tasted defeat for the first time in Sochi. So he's got a lot riding
on. Cut his hair. He looks like an adult now.
Not sure I'd recognize him.
And he's in his 30s. I said, okay, you're in your 30s. I said, I know as I got older, I start taking fewer risks. And he says, you know what? There are days I come out there and I look. I'm like, not today. And I said, that's what happens when you become a grown up.
That's a good point. Well, and you've had, and Lindsey Vonn, obviously, she's coming back from surgery.
Mm-hmm.
She has her own stuff. And then you've got this female snowboard champion who's got an incredible backstory, incredible story of her life and her struggle to to stay in the sport. I mean, it is going to be and the figure skaters whose names are not household this year, save one or two, are going to have. There's a whole new young crop of figure skaters that Americans are going to be falling in love with. And isn't the most amazing thing? I mean, you have to prep for all this so you know the names. But for those of us who are just, kind of coming into this and going to start watching it, there's someone I have no idea right now who that person is. I'm going to care next week at this time about the fate of that person. And it's the only that happens every 2 years with the Olympics, right? That you get some story comes up.
And it's not necessarily an American. There will be some story, and there will be someone in you like you just get you glom onto that story, and it's a great backstory, and it's just
right.
And that's what I love. Even the stars, most of them. These are not their household names for a few weeks, but they go back and they do this stuff year in and year out. And every 4 years they get their shot. I love being there when they come to be interviewed on the Today Show or Nightly News, and they got their medals hanging around their neck, and their parents are there, and cameras are shooting. It's a great moment.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, and then you do the hipster for the younger kids late night show that is always
the snowboard champion.
Right, the snowboard champion comes, and then they get it's not Seacrest this year, right? Seacrest is not part of the team.
That's a good question.
Sorry to put you up against it. Because I can't imagine now that he's kind of an ABC guy now. Yeah. I don't know. Whoever it's going to be, the late night person, and then they're always like in their 40s and they try to act like they're in their 20s. I love that.
I used to host the, last Sochi, I think I think it was the afternoon show in the States. So it was, and it was fun. They all come to you and you get to interview them. It's a blast.
Right. But the late night Rio game, the Rio show after the, that came on like late at night. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you're watching this and you're like, I think some of these people are drunk. I swear to God. Oh my God. Look at them. Once they're done competing,
when they're done with it, the partying begins.
Oh yeah.
And then
the coverage. I never get to see the coverage. Yeah. I'm working. Yeah.
And they're bringing some other athlete from another country they just hooked up with and they go, hey, come on over. I'm going to go do NBC. I think it's Seacrest. All right. Lester, have fun. Be safe.
We'll be watching.
Thank you. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay. There he goes. Lester Holt, NBC Nightly News. We've got right now Judy Palak, WGN News, telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour from the newsroom.
Using social media to steal your money. Modern stick-up artists don't even need a gun anymore. How to protect yourself from high-tech heists. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
Illinois gubernatorial candidate Dan Biss is going to join us coming up in just a few minutes right here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
He's current polling 17% behind Pritzker at 30, with a lot of people undecided on the Democratic side of that primary race for governor. Nearly 40% still undecided. So
is Chris Kennedy still in it?
He is. He's not polling as well, but he has slipped into third, and he's at 11% currently.
Wow.
With Biss surging ahead to 17%.
Hey, listen, after 5:50 tonight for a chance to win. Because you can play News or Ruse, and you're a winner no matter what when you play News or Ruse.
You got to get through the game, but yeah.
Well, but the runners up often get things that are just as nice as the winners. How about this? $100 gift card to Sherry's Berry is the perfect way to make a big impression on Valentine's Day. Save 20% on gifts over $29 with the promo code ROE, ROE at berries.com. And then your chance to win a $50 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's after 6:40 for Blackhawks Pick'em.
Ooh. Love some lose.
Feeling something. I don't know. I have thoughts.
What do you mean you're feeling something?
About Blackhawks and the season. And I don't know.
Not great thoughts?
Kevin, I need Kevin to help me feel better about this.
Corey Crawford's getting closer to a return. Well, he skated today.
See, now that's the thing. He skated, right?
Yeah. And then he could practice with the team and be a full participant. And once he practices, that means he's right there. Mm-hmm. So hopefully soon.
Yeah,
but
right there.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're
right there.
Yeah, we're going out there on Thursday to the United Center to do the show, and generally it's a happy thing, and
it is.
We're talking to people about playoffs and things like that, and it's like now there's like a real question.
Yeah, the good news is they can make up a lot of ground over these next couple games because Calgary's right ahead of them in the race to the wild card. Both the Hawks and the Flames are outside looking into the postseason, but not by much. Calgary's a point out of the wild card. Hawks are 5 points out, but you know you can make up 2 points here. Then you got Dallas, who's currently holding the top wild card spot. So, you know, they've got some opportunities here, and they've got a lot of home games over the down the stretch here, really. They got the two-game stand, then they're on the road for a few games, and then pretty much like 75% of their games are at home over the final month and a half of the season.
Yeah, because I'm not saying they're running out of daylight yet, but, you know, you've made that turn like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, where you're like, oh, not this, how much daylight is there left?
Yeah, 30 games left in the year. Just 30.
Yeah. 30 games left. So, what's their record right now? They
Right now they have 56 points. They're 24-20-8. Right now Minnesota's got the last wild card spot for now with 61 points. So they need to get going for sure.
Yes. I mean, and as you pointed out, you know, it's you got it, but you got to start winning games. I think the ties against the West for sure are not going to be good. Ties against the East, I don't care about. You can still get a point. But
that was Saturday stung. I mean, this is the second time they're playing the Flames in 4 days, and they blew a lead against the Flames in Calgary over the weekend and lost in overtime.
Yeah.
Can't happen. They need 2 points tonight.
Yes, 2 points. We should start that chant.
Every game. 2 points.
Two points.
All right. Yeah. You know what? Cancel that idea. All right. We've got right now Judy Prilak standing by. She's got news in 2 minutes. Brocon Show with Anna DeVlantzis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up at top five at five that you won't believe.
Mm-mm. One of those days.
And then a special news review coming away in the 6 o'clock hour. Right now, Senator Daniel Biss is joining us. You know him, you love him from the TV commercials that are for him and against him. he wants to be the governor of the state of Illinois. He's running as a Democrat. And he is actually in, according to the most recent polling, and please, Senator, don't use that that tried and true term. The only poll that counts is the one on Election Day. But right now in the polling, you're actually showing, I think,
signs of strength for sure.
Better than a lot of the prognosticators thought you were going to be showing, because you're very well entrenched in second place behind J.B. Pritzker, who has already spent. Well, I think close to $1 trillion on commercials.
North of $20 million is what's been reported.
Yeah, I mean, not as much as Rauner, but Rauner, it's funny because Rauner's running against every Democrat. He's not running against the Republican, who he really, I think now probably should be. All right, well, let's talk about you and where you come from and what this whole thing is about. And let me just start with this. Because they're starting, you know, you've made it when they're starting to run negative commercials against you. And there are two issues that have been placed on your plate right now that I'd like you to respond to. One, it's you know, you're running as a left of center Democrat, right? And you're a lot of people are comparing you to Bernie Sanders. But yet, in terms of school choice, your critics are saying that you are, I don't know if these are critics from the left or they're from the right trying to make the left nuts, but saying that you have that you actually voted for and authored charter school legislation and took money from the charter school people. What's the truth in all of that?
Well, I think they're talking about a particular vote I took, which is about parity. I've always been about parity. I've been about holding charter schools accountable like all traditional public schools. I've been about making sure that we're holding them to the same standards when it comes to English language learners and special ed, and I'm for parity and funding too, and I voted for that, and I'm being attacked for it, and it's fine. Like you said, when you're surging in the polls like we are, your opponents attack you, and I think what they've seen is that when the Democratic primary electorate in Illinois gets to choose between a middle-class progressive and another billionaire, they're going to choose the middle-class progressive every day of the week, and so you know, J.B. Pritzker's running scared and he's starting to attack me, but it's all right. I take it as a badge of honor.
You say that you're not part of the political machine, which I think is very appealing to people. You know, enough is enough with some of the things that we've seen that have come out of the political machine in our state over the years, and that you're fighting for regular folks and bring the state back into the control of regular people. All of that very appealing message. But you have to answer to the money you took from Mike Madigan for campaign funds and the support you made for the speaker. I realize there are reasons for that, but it doesn't necessarily give people the impression that you will stand up to the Speaker Madigan. Would that be your intention?
Yeah, for sure. I have actually been on the opposite side of intra-party battle after intra-party battle from Mike Madigan. He was trying to stop me from getting elected when I first won my House race in 2010. He's trying to stop me from getting elected right now because he's working with Pritzker. When I first got to the House, one of the very first things I did was put in a constitutional amendment that says that you can't serve a speaker for more than 10 years, because I think the fact that he's been there since 1983, that longevity is part of the problem.
Yeah,
and so I have to be firmly planted in the opposite wing of the Democratic Party. Now, again, J.B. Pritzker, who doesn't want to have to be tied to Mike Madigan, is trying to muddy the waters by saying, hey, well, Daniel, you're a Democrat, so you've supported other Democrats. Of course I work with Democrats. Of course I chose the Democratic candidate for Speaker of the House when I was a member of the House. The question that we ought to be asking isn't, am I a Democrat? The question we ought to be asking is, what kind of Democrat am I? And the truth is, I'm an independent-minded person who is being opposed by Mike Madigan and the Democratic machine in this campaign. And I think that that will position me to be the kind of independent-minded, progressive governor that we really need in the state of Illinois.
Let me ask you about that question, because this has come up a couple times in the last few weeks, because people talk about term limits, and maybe there should be term limits in that way. You know, the Mike Madigans of the world and John Cullerton's, you know, you could do something about it. But really, the issue about creating a term limit for leadership, that's the sort of thing that does not require the kind of voting that would take to, especially since, you know, I'm kind of guessing that Mike Madigan isn't going to be there for 10 more years, right? That this is the kind of thing he would get behind now. You could possibly get this done. Why hasn't there been more of a push to create term limits on leadership positions in Springfield?
I couldn't tell you. It's, like I said, it's something I've been fighting for since literally, I think it was my second month in the House of Representatives. And you know how it is. I think that when I say, listen, Mike Madigan's been there too long, Mike Madigan's become too powerful, it's time for us to put this in place, the people who like the system the way it is see that rhetoric as a threat and try to put a brick on the legislation. So we're going to have to keep on making this case and convincing more people. But I think it's pretty common sense, and here's why. When someone serves in that leadership position, they've got a key role not just in their own district, but over the whole state of Illinois. And yet they only get held accountable by the voters in their own district. That's less than 1% of the state.
Right.
And so they get more and more power over the whole state while only having to face the voters in their district. That imbalance, to me, is what creates the problem that we have now with a speaker who's too powerful and a political machine that's too powerful.
I want to ask you about some of your commercials and the claims that you make in your commercials. It does seem a little like promising a lot, especially in a fiscal way, in a state that's broke. Right. We all see it. We all can agree on it. You know, you're talking about fully funded schools. You're talking about, the pension system. I know you've been, this is one of the criticisms about you has been about changes in the pension system. What would you, if you were governor of the state of Illinois, what could you do to save this fiscal house?
You know, you made a comment that I hear all the time. You talked about the state being broke. And here's what I would say. The state of Illinois isn't broke. The state government is broke. And the state government is broke because we've got a government that was designed for 50 years ago. We have a tax system that was designed for an economy we don't have anymore, a tax system that asks too much of middle-class families like mine, asks too much of the working poor, and lets the very wealthiest completely off the hook. Illinois is a tough place to be a middle-class homeowner, but it's a really great place to be a billionaire.
Because it's a flat tax across we pay, you know, 5% essentially in tax, no matter whether you're digging ditches or you're Bruce Rauner. Is that your point?
That's exactly right. Bruce Rauner made $188 million in 2015, and he paid 5% in that year, 3.75% tax, same as somebody who made $25,000.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
In Wisconsin, that's not how it works in Iowa.
All right, so you would graduate tax. You're looking for, but in a state that already has, you know, where you're starting to see people leave the state because of the tax situation, and that's and now you've got with the new federal tax law that penalizes state tax, you know, the state and local tax of high tax states, which in Illinois, between the property taxes and the income tax, is considered a high tax state. How are you going to keep people who are wealthy? You want them in your state. They're your tax base, right? You know, those are big numbers if they go away, and they gut the system when they go away. And you've got people already, you know, over the last number of years have been, you know, domiciling in Florida or Texas or other places where they don't have to pay state taxes. How can you, especially now that those people can't write off their local taxes, how are you going to keep them in the state of Illinois?
You know, I think one of the biggest reasons on the tax side that people leave Illinois is because of property taxes. And listen, our property taxes are crazy high in the state of Illinois, higher than any state except for New Jersey. And that's because of how we fund our schools. That's because we don't have a graduated income tax. That's because we don't tax financial transactions. That's because we basically have a state tax system that's designed for an economy we don't have anymore, which means we don't have the money to actually fund schools properly. And then school districts keep on jacking up property tax rates, pushing families out. If you had a tax system that made sense for the modern economy, middle-class homeowners could stay in Illinois far more easily. And so I think that's part of the equation. The other thing I would say is we hear all the time about people leaving Illinois for Wisconsin, for example. Well, Wisconsin has a much higher marginal tax rate on the very wealthy. If you're a millionaire, you pay more in Wisconsin than in Illinois.
But you don't hear the millionaires leaving, but you hear them leaving for Florida. You hear them leaving for Texas. You don't hear them leaving for Wisconsin. Your businesses potentially leaving for Wisconsin, but you don't hear. I mean, the thing is, you've got a gigantic tax base of you know, people, of wealthy people, people making household incomes above $500,000. Now, the number of those people are small, but what they contribute to the tax base is big. And if you send them fleeing, that cannot be good for Illinois, because you just said it in your own sentence back there, the one answer ago, which was, you know, keeping middle class homeowners. Okay, I understand that, but you also want to keep upper class homeowners in the state of Illinois because they're paying the bills, and that's an important thing. So, it is the kind of rhetoric that does well in a Democratic primary, possibly especially against a billionaire, but. In a general election and in a real practical sense, you have to cover that hole somehow because you don't want those people fleeing. Would you agree with that or no?
I think you said it really well. If for people who are looking for simply the lowest tax state in the country, they're going to go to Florida anyway.
Not necessarily. If they have businesses
and question,
here.
And it's, to me, the question is, how do you design a tax system that actually works? And I would say, look around the country. There are states that have growing populations, growing economies, growing job opportunities that do it, as you suggest, by having as low taxes as possible for the very wealthy. But there are states that have growing economies, growing job opportunities, growing populations, like Minnesota, that do it by asking the wealthiest to pay their share and then investing in the kind of public infrastructure that actually creates the kind of opportunity that people want to move to. And we have to make a choice in Illinois which of those two paths we want to go down. I think if we're trying to chase Florida in a race to the bottom, we're going to lose the race to the bottom and not have the society we want. If we instead emulate states like Minnesota that have designed fair, reasonable tax systems that ask the wealthy to pay their share and then are able to invest in schools and infrastructure properly, I think we'll have a better match for the assets we have in Illinois. And we'll build a place with, I think, a more vibrant quality of life.
You mentioned that you would rethink luring Amazon's headquarters here, that it might not be the right fit for our state. Am I characterizing that correctly? And why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think that's a little bit black and white. What I would say is we've got to be really careful about what we offer them. Because I think the kind of economy we want here in Illinois is not one where we're giving handouts to the largest corporations, hoping they come or stay. Because every time you do that, that comes out of the pocket of everybody else, including the entrepreneur, including someone who's trying to start or grow a small business. And ultimately, the economy we want, yes, of course, it'll have some large businesses, but it also needs a lot of vibrancy, a lot of churn, a lot of new businesses, people with new ideas, starting new enterprises. And every time we put the thumb on the scale in favor of the very, very large corporation that knows how to hire the lobbyist or is able to generate headlines in the paper to scare politicians, that's just making life a little bit harder for everybody else and moving our economy in a direction that is ultimately not sustainable.
All right. Well, good luck. We'll talk to you again before this is all said and done, I'm sure. This is going to be a... It's interesting because you do have the one thing I will say about your campaign. It's surprising a lot of the so-called experts. But then again, you know, these last couple of years, Dan, I don't know if you've noticed this.
What do you make of the experts?
Been kind of been surprising, I would say. There have been a lot of surprises. Mm-hmm. So you certainly have you've made a splash, and now the air war begins here on television the last couple of weeks before the primary. So we'll talk to you again. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, thanks so much. Look forward to it. Bye-bye.
All right. Right now, Judy Pilak tells us what's coming up in the top of the hour news from the WGN newsroom. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Why are we doing news-a-roos on a Tuesday?
I don't know. You'll have to talk to this management about that.
Okay. I'll take that up.
Take that up.
With the powers that be.
Yeah. Run that up the flagpole. I don't know. I
thought there was a Thursday thing.
Well, we were going to be at the United Center on Thursday.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. Thank you.
Then that's what we're doing.
I take back my question.
See, I just came up with that.
Mm-hmm.
While we were just sitting here.
Saves me the...
elevator ride upstairs to start yelling at, you know, a lot of people wouldn't believe this, but Anna DeVlantis is quite a diva. She
right.
goes up to the management offices. All right, mm-hmm. What are you people doing around here? Ruining my career. So
very
every
happy.
9 o'clock meeting starts 9 o'clock in the morning.
We have the best bosses ever, and I'm not just saying that to kiss butt. It's true.
I'll say it to kiss butt. My God, are they good looking?
They're very good looking too.
All right, here we go. If it's 5 o'clock...
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go!
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes!
Yes!
Get on with it!
Checking in at
number 5.
All right, we're just 2 days away from another government shutdown.
Here we go again.
Woo-hoo! Democrats renewed their demand for a DACA amendment in the new spending bill. Republicans at Capitol Hill said that immigration is unrelated to spending. However, at a roundtable on MS-13 today, the president... called for a government shutdown himself.
If we don't get rid of these loopholes where killers are allowed to come into our country and continue to kill gang members, and we're just talking about MS-13, there are many gang members that we don't even mention. If we don't change it, let's have a shutdown. We'll do a shutdown, and it's worth it for our country. I'd love to see a shutdown if we don't get this stuff taken care of. So we have to strengthen our borders, not by a little bit, but by a lot. We are so far behind the time.
I think someone let one fly in the middle of that.
Wait, I heard let's that. Hear that. I did too.
Did you hear that?
What was that?
I think it's the president going, listen.
He's moving around in a leather chair.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. That was always my excuse. That's the chair. The chair's leather.
You don't have a leather chair. So if we hear that from you, totally different.
Yeah, but I'm wearing leather chaps.
President's chicken nuggets
issue.
Not sitting well in his stomach.
I got to tell you that the president is not going to lose on this one. This is one where the vast majority of Americans are like, don't shut the government down.
Don't,
whatever
right.
that means for the DACA recipients, we'll deal with that later. I mean, the reality is that if you live in a big city and if you've met somebody who doesn't look like you or have your same ethnic last name, you might feel differently than if you don't, right? But this is a situation that Americans are like, okay, well, there's got to be a solution to that. And the president is allowing – the president did come up with a solution to this, which was, you know, offering not just to the DACA registrants, but to 1.8 million people who would be DACA eligible a pathway to citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help that John Kelly came out today as chief of staff and called those people lazy for not signing up
didn't
for
help.
DACA, but or afraid. And I would go with the I guess the afraid more than the lazy, but okay.
You also heard from Senate Democrats like Dick Durbin, even, who is front and center on those negotiations, who was on our very show yesterday, who said that he was tying it to racing the visa lottery and also the family migration would be exempt from that. And the Democrats don't like that, so they didn't seem to think that that was an acceptable answer. It didn't seem like they were very close.
All right. Here is Barbara Comstock, who confronted the issue and said, no, 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 no. No, she's a Republican. I don't think we want to shut down.
We don't need a government shutdown on this. We really do. I think both sides have learned that a government shutdown was bad. It wasn't good for them. And we do have bipartisan support on these things. I think we need to talk about these cases that are going on. People here live in fear, just 7 miles from the White House. They've been covering this, and people know on a bipartisan basis this problem, and we can...
We're not getting support from the Democrats. I mean, you can say what you want. We're not getting support from the Democrats on
this bill up in the Senate. You will see a lot of...
We have to get that. They are not supporting us.
Now it's not allowing the secretary to be able to stop them at the border, and if they're here, get them out quickly, and have that alone be the deportable offense.
All right.
That's where things stand. How are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling like there's going to be a shutdown. Checking in at
number four.
Republican candidate for governor Jeannie Ives is defending her political TV ad.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Featuring actors portraying a transgender woman and another young woman wearing one of those pink hats. You know, the pink, like...
Yeah,
you know,
the P hats.
Yeah. Talking about how she loves to get an abortion every hour on the hour.
We want to say thank you.
Thank you, Bruce Browner.
Thank you for signing legislation that lets me use the girls' bathroom.
Thank you for making all Illinois families pay for my abortions.
Thank you, Bruce Browner, for opposing law enforcement and making Illinois a sanctuary state for illegal immigrant criminals.
She's trying to show that she's the real conservative in this race. But that ad has been widely criticized by people on both sides of the aisle as just being bigoted and offensive.
Well, she was at the City Club of Chicago and was confronted with this whole idea that it was offensive, and...
I want to know why people are so offended by it. The teacher from Chicago Public Schools, that's whose pension you just bailed out. The transgender man. That's exactly what typically a transgender man looks like. I mean, sir, with all due respect, really? I've had him show up at my door.
You want to know what's offensive? Wait, and if you're asking the question, that's offensive.
It's an accurate depiction of the policies that Rauner put in place.
Oh my God.
Really?
That's what the transgender guy looks like. It looks like a guy in a dress.
Yeah, see him all the time.
Yeah, see him all together. Show up at my door.
Got a beard on and a dress.
Where does she live?
Have you seen the guy? Yeah.
How do you get the door? There's a transgender out there.
Can I use your bathroom?
It looks like one of those British comedies where the guy dresses up like the girl.
John Cleese in a dress.
Yeah, or Benny Hill in a dress, right?
The guy with the mustache and lipstick on.
Yeah exactly. A lot of facial hair and just
holding his purse really awkwardly.
Yeah, how you doing? Listen, I'm so glad I can get in like the bathroom with your little daughter. Come on.
That's crazy. First of all,
is it?
You know what? We need to sit Jeannie Ives down and watch the premiere episode of Caitlyn, or whatever the name of the thing was.
I am Kate.
Yeah,
she looks better than Kris Jenner.
Yeah. Well, no.
Yeah, kind of.
Chairman of the Illinois GOP, Tim Snyder, says, "Take it off the air. It's not okay."
Really?
Take it off.
I don't know, but I don't know if he really believes that or not. And just see the black teacher that they bailed out the pension on? That's what he's really doing. Bailing out a pension. Like, that's it is a terrible thing to do, to bail out a pension that was already promised to these people.
Watching TV with some friends over the weekend, that would pop up, and like half the room you'd have to explain what everything that just unfolded in front of our eyes. Like, wait, what? What
is that? Is that real?
Who are they supporting?
Let's go back.
An SNL ad.
Let's roll back, and we'll take this one at a time.
Yeah, right.
Like okay, there.
I love the woman who's so happy about having the abortions that Bruce Rauner's paying for.
I know.
I mean, who's happy about that?
And not abortion, but abortions.
Abortions, right, plural.
Lots of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I get them every day.
I'm really proud of it.
Once a month, I get an abortion. Thanks to you, Bruce Rauner.
Well, they're free.
And
why
my
not?
Hat. Look at my hat. I wear my hat during the abortion.
Oh,
come on.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Why won't you just admit that maybe it's a little
offensive. Far-fetched. Maybe
or the most extreme version of the policies or
I want to hear her defense again. This is classic.
I want to know why people are so offended by it. The teacher from Chicago Public Schools, that's whose pension you just bailed out.
Stop right there for a second. You've just bailed out her pension. How dare you bail out this woman's worked her life
and was promised a pension,
teaching kids liberal things, and she's black. Let's point that out too. Why are you bailing out her pension?
And the only shirt she has to wear is that red shirt.
Right? She's got a union shirt on.
Right.
Like all those crazy people in Chicago.
The transgender man. That's exactly what typically a transgender man looks like. I mean.
Notice everybody going, what?
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
Probably a little too far there.
Yeah. I don't think so. I don't think every transgender man looks like Jimmy Kimmel. I just don't.
With a dress on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
She showed up at the City Club saying, now I have your attention. So maybe she's done something good for her campaign.
Hey,
I don't know.
You never know. I mean, the next thing you know, if she asked the Russians to release Bruce Rauner's email, look out. She might win this primary. You know?
Anything can happen.
Yeah. I mean, anything can happen. And you just never know. So, we'll see. All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Judy Pilak, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN Newsroom?
Using social media to steal your money, modern stick-up artists don't even need a gun. How to protect yourself from high-tech heists, WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
Violetta's got an update on the traffic situation.
Yeah, Ro, all lanes blocked now on the inbound Eisenhower near First. We reported the police activity had the two right lanes blocked, but now it looks like nobody's getting by past First Avenue inbound on the Eisenhower. Outbound side, though, there's a gaper's delay there, too. It's an hour, 30 minutes.
Wow. Boy, Eisenhower's really taking down the chin the last couple of days.
Seriously.
Police activity, although now we learned what that police activity was yesterday, which was a guy jumping on the blue line to run away from a Greek town bank robbery and then getting off and trying to run across the tracks into a getaway car.
Right, and then you leave that getaway car on the inbound Eisenhower during rush hour.
Yes, then next thing you know, you're like, do you think the guy ran to the blue line and then the little sign said 13 minutes away? Oh,
bad timing.
On. He's got to sit there for 13 minutes listening to some guy playing his ukulele in the
Did they catch him?
The subway? Yeah, the guy's been caught.
Okay. Yeah. So we're thankful that there was a delay on the blue line.
Checking in at
number three.
This is what it sounded like on Elon Musk's big missile.
SpaceX Falcon Heavy.
Yeah, just see it. It was
spectacular.
Yeah, it's a little. When you see it, I'm not the only person who saw what you saw when you see it. It's kind of, dirty. It's almost dirty.
I thought it was nothing short of awesome. And right now, circling the Earth is the Tesla. He's got the Tesla, and you can log online and see the crash test dummy riding the Tesla orbiting Earth.
And its way to slingshot toward Mars, right? That's where it's heading.
In a couple hours, I think it's due to launch on its way to Mars.
Here's what it sounded like as it took off.
Launch director on countdown one. SpaceX Falcon Heavy, go for launch. Falcon Heavy is configured for flight.
T-minus 15, standby for terminal count. 10, 9, 8.
Side booster ignition.
6, 5, 4.
Don't confuse her!
3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Playing like it's New Year's Eve. Don't confuse her. This is important.
It's a lot of celebrating going on, but that was really cool to watch.
I'm not celebrating.
Johnny wouldn't right be. Now.
I hope Elon Musk's Tesla crash test dummy goes right through the windshield.
Okay.
It's nice he didn't mention Amber Heard. That was good.
No, because you had to bring it up, didn't you?
She used to date Johnny Depp, right?
She did.
Now, the other thing is that one of the pieces that came down from the launch, you know, they have the pieces that stay in Earth's orbit and then come back to Earth. One of them was "I Still Love You," was named "I Still Love You," which is like Elon Musk's like love letter back to Amber Heard. I know I'm a billionaire and I just launched this thing to go to Mars and I invented the Tesla, but I don't want to live without you. I know you're an actress. Really?
Yeah.
You can bring your girlfriend over. It's okay. By the way, the girlfriend, Amber Heard's girlfriend, looks just like Johnny Depp. You showed me the picture.
Yeah, looks like the female version of Johnny.
Which Johnny sometimes looks like the female version of Johnny.
Very similar.
How dare you.
All right. Listen to this. Checking in at
number two.
Here is a kid at Clearview High School in Pennsylvania. Getting ready for the start of a early morning basketball game, doing his best Ray Clay. Remember him? Mm-hmm. The Bulls announcer?
D-Train! Sullivan! Sophomore guard at 6'2", number 23, Howie! And at 6'5", forward, number 25, Justin McNichols!
That's great. That kid's got a future.
I predict he's invited to a Trump rally to be the announcer.
Oh,
he's so into it. There's like six people in the gym, too.
Right, there's no one in the gym.
That's it?
Yeah, because it's like an 8:30 in the morning tip-off on a Saturday morning.
He doesn't care. Performing for the people who are listening.
He gives it his all.
He's gone viral, which brings me to...
Nice segue.
Number one.
The flu season is the worst in a decade. 12,000 people have already been hospitalized. 37 children have actually died from this. And now you have advisor to the president, evangelical advisor to the president, Gloria Copeland, coming forward to make a video. That says this.
We don't have a flu season. We've got a duck season, a deer season, but we don't have a flu season. And don't receive it when somebody threatens you with everybody's getting the flu. We've already had our shot. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. That's what we stand on.
Wait. Wait. That do you don't have to get the flu shot because you got Jesus? Is that what she's saying?
I don't really understand that.
That's what she's saying.
That's what it is.
That he's your flu shot. Okay.
Flu, I bind you off of the people in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse of flu. And we receive it and we take it and we are healed by his stripes. Just keep saying that I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu. Put words. Inoculate yourself with the word of God.
She should be the new director of the CDC, don't you think?
I think she's up
She'd
in
be
the
perfect
running.
For it. Exactly the kind of thing that he would do. She's great for it. How much does she cost?
I think you should try that, Rob. I will not get the flu. The flu.
I don't think...
I wonder if that works.
Okay.
Spiritual flu shot.
What happened to America? We have Elon Musk, who's just one of the great private side scientific explorational things that has ever happened, just happened. And then you got this numbnut trying to tell you not to get the flu shot because you've got Jesus instead. You can have both. No one says you can't have both.
You can have both. That's true.
I mean, depending and then the kid,
Justin.
That's so great.
That's
terrific.
He should be like the official announcer of the Rokan show. Maybe like an in-studio announcer for when guests come on. They can do
my guess is Jimmy Kimmel's already got the kid doing it. That's be my guess. Hey, wait till you hear what Donald Trump just announced. It's and this is a shocker. It has nothing to do with Russia or anything else. What he's planning for the summer, an event this summer. Oh, stay here. But first, Judy Pylak got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. Let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Oh my gosh. I thought I'd seen it all, I'd heard it all. And this just crossing the wires. Washington Post is reporting this. This is good.
Yep.
That the president is ordering his top generals to put on a parade for him in Washington, D.C., showing off all of his big military equipment.
Big military parade.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's that one country? North Korea? Don't they do stuff like that?
What do they call that one? Yeah.
Don't they do stuff like that?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, look how big this stuff is.
Look at my missile. Look at the size of my missile. This basically proves that his hands are really a tip to what's going on there. Yeah. This is the proof we've been looking for.
This seals it.
Yeah.
This is the clincher.
Yep. He's long mused publicly and privately about wanting such a parade, writes the Washington Post. But a January 18th meeting between Trump and his top generals in the Pentagon's tank, which is a room, not a tank, that is reserved for secret discussions. And these are two officials who were there who are now telling everybody what they heard. Surrounded by the military's highest ranking officials, including Jim Mattis, the defense secretary, your joint chief's chairman, Joe Dunford. Trump's seemingly abstract desire for a parade was suddenly heard as a directive.
Hmm.
The marching orders were, I want a parade like the one in France.
And I want it now.
You know, because France is known for their military. That's what you always think about when you think of France.
Didn't he remark after visiting Macron and France and attending the military parade that there was something great about that?
I love this parade. Yeah, it was for Bastille Day.
Oh, that's right.
Right? They have a big parade for Bastille Day. It's the only time they actually get to use their military. At least in the last 175 years, it's the last time they've actually done anything with it.
But didn't he want this sort of thing for his inauguration parade and was denied? Like, he wanted tanks driving along with
You have to fly these tanks in. They don't have tanks, the kinds of tanks that if you want to show off everything, you got to bring it in.
What do you mean they're not in the garage?
He's going to find out. And it's going to cost millions of dollars. Of course he wants that because he wants to. Yeah, that seems like a good use where you could actually support probably for what you're going to pay for this parade. You probably could pay. Maybe not a regiment, but you could certainly, you could pay the salaries of a squadron for a year. And then, but what's he going to do? He wants a parade. He wants to stand. Where's he going to stand during the parade? And how awkward is that going to be? Has anybody asked if he wants a uniform? Does he want one of those too?
Maybe wearing a helmet while he's in the tank?
Right. Right, he's got the helmet on. He's got that chin up in the air. That whole like El Duce kind of thing that he does, where he looks up with his chin up and he's like, "Yep, take a look at me. I saw this from World War II footage. The Italian guy was always doing this. He looked so cool."
I mean, because it's him, it's a little ridiculous, but the parade in general is supposed to create a little hoopla and show the power of...
We don't need to do that as a country.
Right. No, we don't.
The United States do that.
Yeah. The poop-kicking countries around the world do this to make their tin pot dictators feel better about themselves.
Right.
Tin horn dictators.
No one's going to see it and be like, wow. That
didn't know they had a real military.
Yeah, U.S. Really, really.
They weren't kidding.
Poses a threat, yeah.
See, the French do it because nobody believes they have a military. See, that's why they do it. I want to do it just like that French guy did, because they look just like him. But I must say this, he's got a very hot wife for an older broad.
As he told her to her face.
Right, that's exactly what he said to her. You're pretty good. You're pretty hot for being as old as you are.
one of the more awkward handshakes, almost handshakes in the history of politics.
Oh, God.
But he's saying he wants it to be tied to Veterans Day and honoring the troops.
Okay.
That's a lot better way.
How about you spend the money on the parade, starting to build a VA hospital? Something like that.
That would help.
Right? How about just improving the lot in life? You know, he claims he's changed all the VA hospitals are all fixed now because he's the president. I think you ask some people who have experience with VA hospitals.
Well, we had an issue here.
Mm-hmm. You're going to find out that they're not completely all fixed yet. You might want to keep working. I appreciate the president's interest in that, and mm-hmm. I think that he should continue to push on that. But to slide his missile down Pennsylvania Boulevard is not exactly the way that America does things. We don't brag about ourselves. See, that's the point of America. We don't have to. And people are still trying to sneak into this country. Wait till they see how big our missiles are. They may want to get in even more. This is ridiculous. The date has not been selected, but he would like it to be around a patriotic holiday, ostensibly the 4th of July or Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm. The Hill is following up on the Washington Post original story, saying they're thinking more of Veterans Day to honor current troops and our military.
Well, that would be, yeah, I suppose, well, yeah, Veterans Day is for Veterans Day.
Right.
There isn't a like rah-rah military day. There's Armed Services Day, mm-hmm. Armed Forces Day, which is in the middle of May. Then you get Memorial Day. That's solemn. You should be solemn about
sure.
that. You got the 4th of July. That's fun. There's fireworks and people wear, three-cornered hats and jump up and down and
red, white, and blue.
Yeah. And then, we grill and then the police pull people over for drunk driving. So you got that. So we can't do it that day. We got Labor Day. Well, that's about the labor movement. That's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And Veterans Day, which is, an honor. Yeah, that probably is the most appropriate military kind of thing. But do you really want, I would just ask. I mean, if people have served in the military, we were just talking about this. One mm-hmm. of the people on the staff, this handful of people that we have that run this thing, is a very proud Marine veteran, and he's like, I'm glad I'm out. I wouldn't want to be marching down
to be in that
marching down Pennsylvania Avenue with a helicopter over your head, very loud.
Well, is that the plan? Would Trump walk alongside?
No, stand there in a reviewing stand and watch the whole thing happen.
He'd probably get bored halfway through and be like, I'm done,
Barron. I want you to look at this. This is what your daddy does for a living.
Maybe we'll do it on Take Your Kids to Work Day.
Yeah.
This could all be yours someday, son.
One day this could all be yours. After Ivanka, of course, and her children. Now, if something bad happens to them, then it goes to Don, then you, then Eric, and then Tiffany.
Tiffany. I wouldn't think she'd be the likely.
She's the last
candidate.
One. She's the last in succession. I'd rather give it to Melania, but she's not eligible.
Wait, don't they have to be elected?
Not anymore.
Not in his robot.
Not when you see my missile. Take a look at my missile. Oh, my God. Really? Really? I mean, this is what, honest to God, this is what the Russians do. Maybe Putin called them. Listen, you're not the real man until you show missile in the Red Square.
Take your shirt off and ride on a horse, too.
Okay, I can't do that, but I guess I can get the missile out. Although when that golf shirt, it's a little clingy. It is like he's taking his shirt off.
Yeah, some of those golf shirts I try to stay away from.
Yeah. I mean, I know. I get the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm not.
You get sweaty and things happen.
Yeah, it ain't pretty. Man boobs everywhere.
Yeah,
I need it.
The dry fit stuff, you can kind of see through it.
See the cheddar popping through there,
and you
too.
Guys are working up a sweat since it's so...
Yeah, there's a lot of work in the golf.
It's tough getting in and out of the golf cart.
Right, it's also tough getting that beer to your mouth. Not in the president's case.
Tracking down the beer cart, sometimes you got to kind of do like a light jog to wave them down. We're over here!
Oh, that's God. Tough. All right. Well, there you go. There's your tax dollars at work. The one thing we weren't asking for.
So is this a go for sure?
Planning stages. The Pentagon is working on it.
God, thank God the Pentagon's working on this.
I want a government shutdown, not to get in the way of this. I want them to work all the way through to build me my parade. I mean, seriously, what? I mean, you imagine, right? You know what happens? Do all the former presidents start texting each other when this happens?
They say,
right, can you believe this? Can you believe this?
Back in my day.
Right. Even George W. is like, look at.
This guy's a goof.
This guy's totally a goof. Oh, man. All right. And when he should have the thing, you know, like the missile launchers when they go by, and then the missile launcher raises up when it goes past him.
Right.
Gosh. I mean, has he ever seen like the World War II propaganda films? Has he ever seen that? Right.
He's like, I want it just like this, very straight and
right.
Very
in lines. Everybody waving at me like that. There's some real good people out there.
Get some forced crying going. Some forced tears from the crowd.
Maybe a woman comes up and hands me flowers while she's wearing some sort of German dancing dress.
Yeah, I'd keep him off the planning committee. I really would. I wonder if John Kelly's on board with the whole thing, you know?
Something I don't
like
know.
That,
I thought John,
background.
I until today, I thought John Kelly was in charge of his own rocket ship, and I'm not sure he is anymore. Either that or he's just trying to say things to draw fire away from the president. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, my God. And, okay, at the end, could we have Bob Mueller blown up by anti-aircraft guns? Could we do that?
Those drones I hear about?
Oh, my God. Oh, God. All right. Well, welcome to America 2018 style. Military parade coming your way this year with the president in attendance. All right, right now, Judy Pilak's got the WGN News at the top of the hour. She can tell us what's happening in the newsroom.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. All right, this is a great honor that we have in the studio with us two chef luminaries.
Absolutely.
In Chicago.
Two of the greats.
If I were a chef, I'd change my name to Luminary so I could be Chef Luminary.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah, don't you know who I am? Yeah, exactly. Even though I don't know what I'm doing. But these two do know what they're doing.
They do.
You got Chef John Hogan, who is about to be inducted as Chef of the Year, and Chef Mindy Siegel, who is the Pastry Chef of the Year, about to be inducted into the Chicago Culinary Museum Chef's Hall of Fame here. And there's a big event going on that involves both chocolate and chefdom. I can't really explain the differential here, and just trust me on this when I tell you, it's going to be a night of great indulgence, deliciousness, and worth your time if you love chocolate, you love food, you love the Chicago restaurant scene, because these are two of the giants
right.
of the scene that are getting inducted, along with Fred Hoffman, by the way, as a restaurateur, mm-hmm. and another giant. This is all happening a week from Saturday, the 17th of February, at the Palmer House Hilton. That is on Monroe Street, which is a great room, right, for a special event.
Definitely.
Where they're going to have this. You've got the For the Love of Chocolate Gala.
Mm-hmm. That just sounds delicious.
It follows this induction ceremony. So if you want to get tickets to this, now pay attention to what I'm going to tell you here, because it can be a little confusing.
Okay.
You got two websites you can go to get tickets for this. You can either go to, listen to this, follow me on this.
Okay.
The ChicagoCulinaryMuseum.org.
Right.
All right.
ChicagoCulinaryMuseum.org.
Or FTLOC.org, for the love of chocolate.org.
Oh, that's easy enough.
My suggestion is you just Google for the love of chocolate and hopefully something comes
up.
You'll
get there.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just
Probably.
Hope that's the way that works.
Mm-hmm.
And Chef. John Hogan has been at a number of great places throughout his illustrious career.
Absolutely.
He's now at River Roast, which is right on the river, which is why they call
it's
it River
nice,
Roast.
Yeah, good place for that,
which
with
is
a name like that.
An awesome evening. And Mindy Siegel, who I just, you know, I got to just say that that there are very few... There are places that get created. There are neighborhoods that get created around a couple of restaurants of great fame coming into those neighborhoods.
That's a good way to put it.
And Hot Chocolate, which was on Damon, is on Damon in Chicago, is one of those places where that little stretch of Damon Avenue between Chicago and between North and Webster is
the... Well, kind of popped up around it, didn't it?
Yes. Is that's there? It's a great restaurant row, and I think that we're not for Hot Chocolate. It's dead. It would not be what
it's
it is.
It's a phenomenal
today.
Place, phenomenal.
And Chef Hogan has been just Kiki's was one of my favorite places in Chicago ever.
Still going strong.
Still going.
28 years.
Still going Kiki's still around.
Yes, and it's kind of hidden still in the spot. Dining room.
Yeah, and it's one of those places, that neighborhood changed around it, too. It used to be, you're going, where? Because you were going, into Cabrini Green to go to a French restaurant.
It was still a full-blown housing project, and the neighborhood came a long way since then.
So that was a great thing. So congratulations to both of you on your amazing, illustrious careers and what you've done for me personally. All right, now... here's what we're playing for on this version of News or Ruse. $100 gift card to Sherry's Berry is the perfect way to make a big impression on Valentine's Day. Save 20% on gifts over $29 using my name, Ro, as the promo code, ROE, at berries.com. That's BERRIES.com. And a pair of tickets to the auto show. I'm at McCormick Place, February 10th through 19th, courtesy of your local Chevy dealer, and we're going to be broadcasting there live next Monday. And then the runners-up get a $50 gift card to Sherry's Berries, the perfect way to make that big impression. Did I just say that? I think I just said that.
Did.
At berries.com. Use my name, Roe, R-O-E, plus the auto show ticket. So everybody's a winner here. So there's no pressure on anybody here. Let's just put it that way. Everybody gets something out of this. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody wins.
Just agree with me. It's better that way. All right. Here we go. Let's meet our contestants right now. We've got Lynn playing with Judy. Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Lynn. All right. There's Lynn. There we go.
She's there.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you now.
That's right. Hi, guys. Hi, Judy.
Hello, Lynn. Ready to win?
I am. Let's go. All righty.
Laura is playing with Violetta. Laura, are you there?
I am.
Laura.
Good luck to you, Laura.
Yeah, good luck to you.
That's all
Laura.
I'm going to say, Laura. Good luck to you. And Patty gets to play with the chefs.
Yay.
Which Come is on, really. Patty.
Wow.
Let's go.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
I know. Look at this. This is good.
Not
right.
every day.
I brought the brains with me, too. Mindy's to my right.
Don't put pressure on me.
All right, here we go. Let's start right now with Lynn and Judy. Lynn and Judy, here is your headline. Teen suspended from high school after her anti-bullying video hurts principal's feelings.
What do you think, Judy? It sounds silly enough to be news.
It does. And, if it's a kid who's doing a video, I bet they did want to hurt the principal's feelings. So,
absolutely.
Yes, I'd say news.
Yeah, me too.
Too logical, but that is correct.
You got it.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Right out of the gates. Laura and Violetta, here's your headline. Florida teacher won't face charges over alleged chalkboard theft, police say.
Think of the things you can do with a chalkboard.
Do they even have chalkboards? They don't in my school.
I think it's just whiteboards now, but or is that
I think that's exactly how the president wants it.
All right, Laura, what do you think? You go first.
I'm going to say I'm going to say I actually think now it's true.
Okay, I thought it was ruse, but let's go with you because I'm always typically wrong.
You're both wrong now. All right, here we go.
Too
Patty
bad.
And the chefs.
Come on, Patty.
I was in that band in the 1990s. Monopoly creates a game version for cheaters, complete with handcuffs.
Patty.
I think news. Chef?
I don't know. I knew of a game called Lie, Cheat, and Steal back in the day, which was based on Chicago.
Oh,
yeah.
It was
that's
a
fancy
Chicago
that.
Politic Absolutely. Board game. It was awesome, but I'm not sure about this one, Patty. Mindy?
I feel funny about it.
All right. I need a news or ruse. You going to go with your contestant? Or
what do you think, Patty?
I say we go with news.
News it is.
You got it. It's way to trust your guts.
That was close.
How about that?
Black licorice for everybody.
I just stopped at the candy store down on Michigan Avenue. So.
Lynn and Judy, here is your headline.
Worried about Trump's stoked exodus of immigrants, Canada discourages illegal crossings.
Wait, read it one more time, please.
Worried about Trump-stoked exodus of immigrants, Canada discourages illegal crossings.
What do you think, Judy?
Well, I think that could really be true.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's go with news.
Got it.
Well, making it too easy for them. Yeah. All right, Lauren Violetta, here's your headline. Florida is the worst state in the nation in every way, new ranking says.
I would say ruse. I think they're trying to throw us off with this Florida BS.
Okay, I'm going to go with what you said.
Okay, we're going ruse.
Wait, no. Oh. No,
you gave it to us. We're taking it.
No.
It's a real headline.
That's a real headline, and that was operator error on my part. Florida ranks dead last when it comes to rating the best states in the nation.
Yeah.
Michigan ranks first.
Can you believe that?
But in every way possible?
Every way.
Every way.
But they have the most
sunshine. Based on everything.
We don't get credit for the mistake.
No. Nope.
This is interesting because part of it is the state's contributions to America, like inventions, food, and drink. Huh. How about that?
Yeah.
When you stop and think about it.
Other than orange juice, what the heck are they known for, right?
Oh, good point. Alligator meat? I mean, like what?
That is correct. Oh, that's too bad. You guys are already out of it.
Mouth.
All right, Patty and the chefs.
Well, that was fun.
Here is your headline.
You still win, Laura. Norwegian bar promoting free meatballs. Some assembly required in honor of late IKEA founder.
Oh, that sounds so true.
Yeah.
Doesn't that?
I would say. I'd say so.
Yeah, true.
They served them at their party.
News.
You know that.
News.
You wanted that to be true, didn't you?
Come on. I know they serve Swedish meatballs for their anniversary parties and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you read the obituary of that guy? It's fascinating.
It is. Interesting life.
He claimed that he grew up in a sort of very working class environment in which they made they made their steaks out of tree bark and things like that.
Right.
And he's one of those guys.
I know he had a wooden leg too.
Yeah. So he's got
no.
assembly
Did he
required.
Have to assemble it?
Yeah. But he claimed to all of his workers, no one can fly first class traveling around the world. You all have to, fly economy. And he drove a 30-year-old Volvo and this whole deal going on where he told them all that they all had to be, really, really, really efficient and scrupulous and not spend any extra money. And it turned out he lived in a castle. When he died, he was in a castle. He had all these things. He had a Porsche. He had whole deal.
Oh, one of the world's richest
one of
people.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, Laura and Violetta, I'm sorry. You're both out of it now.
But okay, Laura still wins.
She wins, and she was a great sport.
Yeah. And Patty and the chefs have got to get one right when we come back from the break here to stay in it. Otherwise, Judy wins this thing with Lynn uncontested, and we can't let that happen.
And it's like Groundhog Day again.
Yeah. It's, for America, we can't let that happen.
No.
Because Judy is just beyond herself. So let's just do that. All right. Right now, Judy, tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Using social media to steal your money. Modern stick-up artists don't even need a gun these days. How to protect yourself from high-tech heists. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
Ben Bradley was on the program with us earlier today explaining this story. You should tune in at 9 o'clock tonight. It's really scary. You can actually be virtually kidnapped.
And he explained how it happens, and it's pretty darn believable and pretty scary, I'd imagine, if it happened to you.
It's pretty crazy. Crazy. All right, right now we're playing News or Ruse, and we've got two of Chicago's greatest culinary geniuses.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the history of the whole damn thing, and they're about to be inducted into the Chicago Culinary Museum Chef's Hall of Fame. You've got John Hogan, who's had an amazing career, starting with the French, and now he's with River Roast on the river, which is the best place to put River Roast, I think. On the river, which is a great room.
Sense.
That is it's a great restaurant. And then Mindy Siegel, who is from Hot Chocolate, and one of the great pastry chefs in this or any other city, in this or any other time.
Absolutely,
so,
and they join the likes of Chef Charlie Trotter and so many others, Rick Bayless and others in that Chef Hall of Fame. So,
all right,
well
and
deserved.
So many of the and you started with weren't you with Charlie Trotter?
Yeah, I didn't start with him, but I did work there.
You did work there.
I did my time.
Yes.
No one. Easy person to work for.
Let's put it this way. No, and God rest his soul. But nobody enjoyed their time with him. But everybody went on to great things.
Oh, no question. question. No question.
It was boot camp.
Yes. He was the, in our business, he would be the equivalent of a Walter Jacobson or a Mike Royko.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the same sort of thing. No one enjoyed their time, but everybody went on to something. So that's how that goes. All right. And let's now, all right, here's where we sit.
Okay.
The chefs are playing with Patty. And Patty, you got to get this right with the chefs to stay in this. Otherwise, Judy wins this thing just walking away. And do you think it's right?
Wins.
Do you think it's right that Judy wins every week like this?
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah, yeah, isn't that right? All right, so here you go. Here is your headline as read by Orion Samuelson.
English strip club plan opposed for being too close to Richard III's grave.
Oh, jeez.
Wait, can you repeat that, please?
I can repeat it. English strip club plan opposed for being too close to Richard III's grave.
Gotta be.
Okay, Steph.
Even English couldn't make something
quickly.
Like that up.
Is that going to be the news or the ruse?
What do you think, Chef? I'm going to let you. You know,
I almost think it's too awesome to not be true.
Right. I don't think there's a way that even a British sense of humor could concoct such a thing.
The chefs are saying news.
Going with news?
No. Yeah.
Yes. No. I need an answer.
What do you think, Patty?
I'm going to go with you.
Let's
news.
Let's do the news.
You got it. Well done.
See,
right, still
like,
in it.
Here in Chicago, strip clubs are just too close to nursing homes for nuns. There, it's Richard III.
Right, and he's been dead for how long?
Yeah, I don't
right.
even know.
Why does it matter?
Quite honestly, I thought it was Shakespeare made the whole thing up. All right, here we go. Lynn and Judy, this is for the win. Here you go.
Okay, come on, Judy.
Women over 85 Noonan. Are happier because their partner is dead by then.
Also
say psychiatrist.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh.
Women over 85 are happier because their partner is dead by then. Is that news or ruse?
Gosh. What do you think, Judy? I'm thinking news.
Well, we know it's true. I just don't know if it's news.
Right. That, yeah.
I don't know if it's a real headline.
Yeah, that is true.
I need news or ruse. I need an answer. Judy, we're going to be late for Judy's news.
With you, Judy, whatever you think.
We've had so many news. I don't know.
I didn't answer.
You have to answer in case we lose. I can't be. I can't take that fall.
Okay, so it's got to be a headline, a news headline. So let's say ruse.
Let's go with ruse.
Okay. This is a real contest.
Now we're back into the lightning round.
Patty.
Back to you, Patty, and the chefs.
Wow.
Hunter, listen to this. Here you go. Hunter knocked unconscious by bird that fell from sky after being shot.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's very possible.
It's not only possible, it's true.
It's
he was
true.
A goose hunter. I happened to read Lampoon.
Way to do the research, Chef.
All right. Is that it? Yay. Is that your answer?
News.
Man, that was clutch.
All right, Lynn and Judy. Lynn and Judy, here's your headline.
Here's the headline, guys.
Strange things happen in my house in the morning.
French pogo stick champion charged with arson after promotional stunt levels ninth generation smoldering bakery.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
I think there was...
Wait, hold on. French pogo stick champion charged with arson after promotional stunt leaves ninth generation smoldering.
No, I heard there was something
generation.
Else.
There's ninth generation.
Something kind of building.
Okay, I'm sorry. Ninth generation bakery smoldering.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Oh, God.
We got it. No big deal.
What are your thoughts, Judy?
Oh, God. What does it have to do with a pogo stick champ?
I don't know. We don't write these things.
All
they
right.
write these things.
I feel like it's
news
true,
or ruse.
But, because who would make up that stupid lead?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll go with
Judy. Judy is so,
she's so
easygoing
it.
And pleasant. Who'd make up that stupid lead?
I hate when
All right.
I'm always
news or ruse. Is it news or ruse?
I picked the last time, so you picked this time.
All right. News.
Chefs win it!
Woo!
Along with Patty. Congratulations,
yay, Patty.
Patty, you are a winner.
Woo!
Oh, you are a winner, Chef.
Thank you so much.
$100 gift card to Sherry's Berry is a perfect way to make that big impression on Valentine's Day. Right now, save 20% on gifts over $29. Promotional code is ROE, R-O-E, and a pair of tickets to the auto show starting on Saturday, courtesy of your local Chevy dealer. We'll be broadcasting there live on Monday, by the way. Mm-hmm. And do not despair, Lynn, because you're getting a pair of tickets to the auto show and a $50 Sherry's Berries gift certificate as well. So there you go.
Look at that.
Everybody's
a winner.
Thank you. And congratulations to our chefs for their induction into the Hall of Fame here in Chicago.
Congrats, guys. Well deserved.
And we won.
Yes.
News Roost.
You know,
that's even
kind of a big deal.
I think it's bigger.
Not quite as big of a deal.
I think there should be a little asterisk next to our names, at least.
You could tell the story from the stage at your induction ceremony. You
sure, the reigning News or Ruse champions.
Yeah, this is real nice, but let me tell you what we did last week. Yeah, there you go. All right.
Well, nicely done.
If people want to go see this, the ChicagoCulinaryMuseum.org, or for the love of chocolate, that event is going on simultaneous to this, and that is a great annual event in February that makes everybody happy. So for the love of chocolate, it's FTLOC.org, by the way, for the love of chocolate. Just Google that, and you'll find your way to it. Chefs, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it. Judy's got the real news coming your way in 2 minutes.
Falcon Heavy is configured for flight.
T-minus 15, standby for terminal count. 10, 9, 8.
Side boost ignition.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Yeah, it's Elon Musk's big missile being launched today on its way to Mars, to circle around Mars. It's got a Tesla on board.
Which is currently orbiting the Earth.
With a crash test dummy sitting behind the wheel. You can go on the interwebs and you can actually look at the crash test dummy sitting in a car.
You can.
On its way to Mars.
You can check it all out.
I don't know why anybody would really, after the first day of this, I don't know why you would want to look at that, but you could.
Do you see the kid in the back seat saying, "Are we there yet?"
No.
Do you see Amber Heard in the back seat anywhere?
I'd like to see Amber Heard on her way to Mars. It's all possible.
Thank you, Johnny Depp.
She broke up with Elon Musk, so she's not part of this whole thing.
She breaks up with Elon Musk every other week, and it doesn't seem to take. I just don't understand. But this is not why we called.
No.
Because we have an actual space superhero. On the phone with us right now, Dr. Bethany Elman. That's the word. That is actually what I'm trying to say right there. Oh, my God, Bethany. I'm so sorry. This has just been one of those days. I'm preparing myself for a big parade coming up later on this summer in Washington. I don't know what to do. Anyway, now, Dr. Elman, this is actually a really incredible story. Dr. Elman's personal story.
Mm-hmm.
She was part of the NASA Mars rover Curiosity mission, which at the JPL. Remember, we talked about this when it was actually going on. Incredible, I think, moment in human history, as all of these things are. And she's an assistant professor of planetary science at Caltech. And was able to, you actually drove the rover. Did you not drive the rover? You drove the rover, didn't you?
I'm more like a backseat driver of the rover, but yeah, and I still backseat drive the rover as part of the operations team over at JPL.
Wow.
That is, we scientists tell the engineers which direction to go.
To your left! No! To the left!
Rock to the left, not the other left.
Right, do you ever ask, now pull over and ask for directions! Where's the water?
What? Yeah, right.
Just like that.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably more scientific. So what's happening with Rover's current state right now? Because that is one of the goals, is to try to find places where water may be or where water once existed.
Yeah, that's right. And the Curiosity rover is still going today, climbing a mountain of rock layers called Mount Sharp. And we've been basically climbing through the layers that record the presence of a lake at our particular landing site location. So we kind of just came out of a deep lake stage. And now it looks like the lake might have been drying out about 3 billion years ago in Mars history. So we're stepping through the record in the rocks of what Mars was like in the past and where the water was.
Now, you've actually, you and National Geographic have gotten together to do Dr. E's Super Stellar Solar System, and it's a this is the kind of thing that, you know, I would imagine for, like, you know, second graders, third graders, fourth graders, all the way up to like middle school could get a complete kick out of this, depending on what their reading skills are like, because it takes you through a lot of the different it makes a very compelling argument for why we should be spending a lot of time thinking about Mars, and especially mm-hmm. this has been an amazing century for space exploration. People want to think back. I think most Americans think back to the 1960s and think about space and think about the moon. But what we have done, what we as humans, Americans and also the European Space Union, and then, you know, you kids over at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is, by the way, the coolest thing to say that you work at.
Yeah,
I imagine? Use it all the time in bars. Where do you work? Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
So cool.
Yeah, I know. There's just been amazing stuff. What do you anticipate? Do you anticipate that we're going to have humans by the end of this century on Mars?
You know, I hope so. I expect that this will happen in my lifetime. In fact, I see the excitement toward that accelerating as the recent rocket launch, which is the kind of rocket that would enable taking big heavy payloads, not a Tesla, but like an actual Mars habitat to Mars. And that's happening. And I hope that the readers of Dr. E's Superstellar Solar System can sort of be captured by the excitement of exploration through the adventures of Dr. E, Rover, the amazing pictures that we have back from all the NASA missions across the solar system, and that they are the scientists and the engineers that actually make that journey to Mars happen.
Yeah.
What turned you on to it when you were a kid?
What turned me on? I guess I was always curious about how the natural world worked. When I was outside, I was always like looking at the leaves on the plants, like trying to understand the little animals that would live, little lizards that would live in corners of my porch. We also had a telescope growing up that we occasionally would take out and look skyward. But I was intrigued to figure out, well, how does this work? How does this work? And I think a lot of kids have that. And the trick is to continue nurturing it through those tough years in middle school, high school, when you get that first B in your or C in your college math mm-hmm. class, and to keep going and push through and remember that curiosity and that sense of wonder that took you down the science path in the first place. And so I was fortunate enough to have good mentors along the way, and that's why I'm here as a professor and working on Mars missions and writing kids' book about space exploration now.
Right, because you'll certainly potentially mentor some kids who will come up and find science fun because of the way you portray it in this book, and it really is fun and educational. It's awesome. When you see something like SpaceX, too, is that inspiring, do you think? Is it inspiring to you as a scientist? Do you think those kinds of experiments that a lot of people stopped for a moment to think about what happened today, and they look at this and say, wow, gee, this matters?
Yeah, I hope people stopped for a moment because it was pretty amazing. Nice. One of the heaviest lift rockets in the recent decades, and they returned some of the boosters to Earth to be reused again, which means the space launch will be perhaps cheaper than some of the past launches. So it's those kind of technical advances that really let us explore the solar system and will take us off planet someday. So these are the kinds of things that, you know, we have a section in Dr. E's Superstellar Solar System where we talk about, well, what are the missions of the future? We talk mainly about robotic missions that'll happen in the next 10 to 20 years or so. But as I was saying, I think we also tell kids to envision themselves on Mars, bouncing around in the low gravity, exploring the surface, looking at some of the rocks that Dr. E and her sidekick rover look at. So I hope we trigger that same sense of excitement.
And there's also a really cool element to this as well, because it's built like a National Geographic magazine. It's like shaped like that. It's a, you know, same book as they call it.
It's got cool graphics.
Really cool graphics. And there's the stories of women in the space program throughout the whole thing. You know, currently in are involved in these kinds of things to, I think, encourage young girls. Hey, if you are as curious about the world as, you know, these scientists were, you could actually do this, which is really pretty cool.
Absolutely. I'm going to give this to my daughter. She's 6. Be very excited about this.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. Yeah, we tried to appeal to multiple learning styles. So there's Dr. E and her sidekick rover go on a graphic comic adventure at the beginning of each of the 10 chapters. Then the chapters talk about volcanoes in the solar system, superstorms, impact craters by theme. But we also put in, as you mentioned, activities for kids to do themselves at home that illustrate some of the concepts we're talking about, as well as profiles of scientists. And we sort of consciously put an equal number of men and women profiles in the book, because that's really actually the changing face of science. As a professor at Caltech, we get a new crop of grad students each year, and it's about half women now. So this is something that girls do, and girls and boys both. And we really wanted to show the diversity of the community in the book and show people the path to being a scientist.
Do you like your cartoon character? Do you feel, do you connect with, because you've been now made, you've been animated now.
She's like a superhero with a cape.
Yeah, I know. I'm now like a cartoon superhero. I feel like I've got my Halloween costume for the year for sure.
It looks awesome. What's the coolest thing you guys have you've discovered, either been personally part of or seen as part of the research that you've been involved with?
Oh, well, it's just such a thrill and a privilege to be part of these mission teams that NASA and really you, the taxpayer, funded. I hope you enjoy the results. Some of the most exciting things I've been a part of are revealing the history of water on Mars. I was part of a team that discovered evidence for hydrothermal minerals and systems, like think Yellowstone geysers or hot springs gushing out of the ground. It was part of the team that discovered those existing on Mars in the past. And that was really exciting because it opened a whole new different type of habitat to explore for evidence of potential past life. And it's just sort of exciting to know that the planet once had that much water. So that was one of the more fun things I've been a part of. But it's a privilege every day to be part of the team that you know, drives rovers and operates orbiters around Mars and other planetary bodies.
How long does it take from the time you send the signal to the rover for it to actually receive the signal and then do what it's supposed to do?
Yeah, so it depends where Mars is in its orbit relative to Earth. It's on the order of between about 7 minutes and a little less than 30 minutes or so. So we actually do not joystick the rover because that time delay would get really annoying.
Yeah.
So instead what we do is we plan one rover day at a time. So the scientists and engineers sit in the lab on Earth, and we create the entire 24 hours and 40 minutes of the rover day, line by line in computer code. Then we send it up to the rover, and the rover executes it on its own. And it has some ability to make decisions if we told it to drive, but it sees a rock that's too challenging, it stops itself and it says, nope, I'm not going there. Tell me something else to do.
There you go.
So there are these safety mechanisms built in, too. It has a little bit of a brain and autonomy, so just in case we tell it to do something that it shouldn't be doing.
You know, like you're in a dream. You know how you ever had a dream where you can't move or something, or like you're moving in like real slow motion, and then you know, like a shark's gonna eat you. You know, that kind of thing.
Yes,
I have that like every night. Well, that's kind of what goes on here. It's that you got to sort of think everything out in advance, send it up there because you can't get out of the way. The Martian shark's gonna eat you. Did you like the movie The Martian? By the way, I wonder about this because I think that's one of the coolest space movies ever made.
You know, I did like the movie The Martian. I have to say, just for factual accuracy, the windstorm that traps them on Mars is a little too violent. Mars doesn't get that windy today. But besides that, I love everything.
We gotta have a movie here!
Yeah, really.
Gotta have a movie!
You gotta strand him somehow, right?
Yeah.
So I loved everything that Mark Watney did afterwards to try to figure out what to do. And I think that's the type of kind of seat-of-the-pants exploration that through the Dr. E Superstellar Solar System book that we want to, you know, encourage kids to be thinking about, right? How to improvise, how to employ science and engineering to explore, or in Mark Watney's case, survive.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, Dr. E, thank you for being with us.
Thanks,
really
Dr.
appreciate
E.
it. And congratulations on the book, and congratulations on your career and, you know, changing human destiny. That I guess we can think about
it's
that, too.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, Dr. Bethany Ellman. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. We have got right now Violetta Pottermatic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.